From paragraph Yud in Hilchas Hefker V'Nichsi Ager Halacha Dalet. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, we had learned in that chapter on Likut Imran that when the Emunah Hanefula is fixed up, it results in Gerim, because Rabbeinu Zal had explained over there that when the Emunah falls, it means the Jews become weak in Emunah and the Goyim become stronger in their Emunah, in their Emunah is Kuzvius. Whereas to the extent that the Jews get it together and fix up their Emunah and become stronger in their Emunah, the Goyim become weaker in their Emunah. It's always Kishazeh comes and Oifel, the Gemara says. So to the extent that the Emunah Hanefula by the Jews is fixed up, it results in Goyim seeing the weaknesses in their faith and coming to join Bnei Yisrael. That's how we have Gerim. That's how Rabbeinu Zal explains it over there. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ukshemalin ho Emunah, when the Yidn are zechet to be male the Emunah Hanefula and fix it up, Aydezeh nasin gerim kanal. Rabbeinu Zal said that results in gerim. Vezeh bechinas parshas hakorbonos uktoiris. This is why after making all of those brachas in the morning, which we showed referred to Tikkun HaEmunah, and after reading Akedas Yitzchok, the next thing we go into is the korbonos and the brachos, shaydezeh malin hanitzutzos mehaklipos, through which a Jew elevates all these sparks of Kedusha that fell into the hands of the Tumah and restores them and returns them to the Kedusha. Bechinas Gerim, which is the whole concept of converts. Sheheim nefoshois unitzutzois she'oilin mehaklipois vasitrachra ela Kedusha. They represent souls and sparks of holiness that fell into the hands of the Klipa and Tumah that are being returned into the Kedusha. How do we see that in korbonos and ktoiris? In korbonos, we see it because you're taking behema and bringing it on the mizbeach. What shaychus does behema have to the mizbeach? Mizbeach is kodesh, and behema is junk. The answer is behema is not junk. Even in behema, there are nitzutzos of kedusha. There are sparks of kedusha. And our act of bringing korbonos, or the saying of korbonos that a Jew says in the morning, by him reciting Parshas Tomid, Parshas Oila, Parshas Osham, Chatos, he's returning. He's taking all the sparks of Kedusha that have fallen to the Madrega of Behema, to Behemius, to Klipa, to Sitrachra, and he's showing that he believes that there is Kedusha there. And by acknowledging that Kedusha, that itself allows the Kedusha to return, allows those sparks of Kedusha that fell to Bechinas Behema to return them to the Mizbeach, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the holiest places. The Ktoiris. In the Ktoiris you have 10 beautiful smelling spices, and you have Chelbana. Chelbana, what's Chelbana? Chelbana is junk. Chelbana has a terrible smell to it. The act of bringing Ktoiris shows that in the Chelbana there's Kedusha also. Just like the Gemara learns out from the Ktoiris, that any time the Jews have a fast day and the Rishoyim aren't included in it, or any time the Jews daven and the Rishoyim are not included in the tefillah is not really a nachas tashem. Because the concept of tefillah b'tzibur, tzibur is tzadikim, tzadik stands for tzadikim, the bey stands for beinanim, the vav reish stands for urishoyim. If the Rishonim are included, then it's a tzibur, then it has giznachas tashem and everything. If not, it doesn't. So by us reciting korbonos and ktoiris, that's the thing that shows that we're acknowledging that in the klipa, in the behema, in the chelbana, there's kedusha also, and by acknowledging it, we make it possible for that to be returned into the kedusha, which is the whole concept of gerim. We're saying that among the goyim, it's not all bad. There are those sparks of kedusha that fell into the goyim, which will be returned to Klal Yisrael in the form of gerim. Paragraph Yud Aleph. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Rabbeinu Zal said in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Ukeshenas and gerim, and when converts come and join Bnei Yisrael, Yecholim lahazik liYisrael chasishon. They can do harm to Bnei Yisrael, ki machnisim gaiva. They inject gaiva into Bnei Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal quoted a pasuk where it says Bamistorim Tivke Nafshi Mipnei Gove, something like that, where Hashem says Mipnei Geuson Shel Yisrael Shenoflo Leidei Akum, that when the Jews are in Golus, their glory, their kavod, falls into the hands of the Goyim and naturally becomes Nifgam there. Now, when Goyim convert, this is a tremendous kavod to Bnei Yisrael. It's a tremendous honor. Here, the world thinks that the Jews are the lowest people, and a person would pay any kind of money to get rid of that stigma of being Jewish, to be zoiche, to be considered a goy, a man of the world and everything. And when we see a goy that walks out on that and comes to join Bnei Yisrael, he's bringing with him this kavod hanefula. And Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in the Kodimam, that could actually inject a gaiva, a harmful kind of kovoid, to Bnei Yisrael, chas v'shalom. As the Gemara says, koshim gerim li Yisrael kit sapachas, that gerim are like a plague, chas v'shalom, to the Jewish people sometimes. They bring harm. Shaydezeh noitlin cherev ha-gaiva ha-manhige sheker. Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in Likud Imran that when Gerim come and join Bnei Yisrael, it results very often in false leaders receiving strength and being able to have hold a sword over Bnei Yisrael in a certain sense. Shemishom nimshach taivas niyuv chas v'shalom. And that results in the Jews being hit with taivas niyuv, desire for women, illegal desire for women, which comes from gaiva. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk, ve'eshes ish nefesh yikoro hi totsud. That an illicit woman, who does she trap? Nefesh yikoro, a person who considers himself very important, a bal gaiva. So when Gerim join Bnei Yisrael and bring back kovoid with them, that could result in the kovoid falling into the wrong hands, the manhige sheker, where they use it against the Jewish people, number one, and it injects taivas niyuv chas v'shalom into Bnei Yisrael. Utzrichim lahachmiya oisam. So Rabbeinu Zal says in that chapter in the Kodimran, therefore there's a whole avoido in being machmiya these manhige sheker. And Rabbeinu Zal says that's accomplished through the Mogine Eretz. There's a certain group of tzaddikim that are called the Mogine Eretz, the protectors of the land, and they're the ones, they are the antidote to these manhige sheker. Rabbeinu Zal explains this over there in that chapter in Likutei Moran. Kamo shekosu shom, as is written over there in the Torah Tiku Emuna, Ayin Shom. Look it up over there, you'll see all the connections that Rabbeinu Zal makes. Now Rabbi Nosson Zal says, V'zehu b'chinas psukei de zimra. This is the concept of the psukei de zimra, which we say after Karbonos. Shemazkirim bohem gedulas Hashem umalchusoi umemshaltoi hagedoilo. What do we do in psukei? Throughout psukei de zimra, from hoidu until and through yishtabach, it's wall-to-wall praise of Hashem. It's just speaking about the greatness of Hashem in so many assorted different ways. Lahoyrois, the reason for doing that, and in fact, the Arizal says, this isn't quoted here, Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in the Torah Likutei Moran. The Arizal says that whenever you elevate, for example, in Karbonos, we said the Karbonos represents elevating those sparks of Kedusha that have fallen into the hands of the Sefer Achra, bringing them into the Kedusha. But whenever you do that, there's a danger. The danger is that some of the guys that aren't supposed to, Lahavdil, when they let Jews out of Russia, and they're letting them come to Eretz Yisrael, what's the problem? The problem is that there could be imposters, non-Jews, who when thousands, when tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Jews are coming from a cesspool called Russia, and they're coming to Eretz Yisrael, it's very easy for a couple of thousand real goyim to sneak in with them and to try to come into the Kedusha and to mess up the whole future of Am Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom. Because Chas V'Shalom, these goyim are accepted as Jews and they intermarry, and suddenly you don't know who's a Jew and who's not a Jew. It's the worst catastrophe possible. So you always have this problem. Whenever you're taking Kedusha that has fallen into the hands of the Klipos and you're bringing it back, how do you deal with making sure to sever the connection between them and the junk that's there, the real Tumah and Klipa, to make sure that the real Tumah can't come in also? So the Arizal says that the way to do that is by declaring Gedula Saboire. That when you speak about Hashem's greatness, when you declare Hashem's greatness, that represents a blast of fire in a sense. That's like a flamethrower that you're shooting at this mess. That's what burns away the Ra Gomor and doesn't allow it to sneak into the Kedusha together with these sparks of Kedusha. The Arizal says that's why right after Korbanos, the first tefillah we say is Hoidu. Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishmoi, Hoidu Voamim Ali Loisov. Let it be known among the nations the greatness of Hashem. For what purpose? Because by announcing Hashem's greatness, Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh, that the Gaiva belongs to him, the Kovai belongs to him, that's what sets up bars blocking the Ra Gomor, the Goyim, from coming into the Kedusha. Anytime you declare the greatness of Hashem, that's the Shmira, the protection that blocks the Ra Gomor from getting into the Kedusha. And this is, I'm telling you, this is how the Arizal in the Pri Etz Chaim explains why we say that Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishmoi, specifically right after Korbanos, and the whole topic of Psukei Dezimra. And this is what Rav Nosson Zal is locking into now. Because the way Rabbeinu Zal explained it, when Gerim come in, there's this problem. They bring with them this kovoid, which could result in a gaiva, which when it falls into the wrong hands, manhigim shel sheker, it does harm to Bnei Yisrael, and it brings taivas niyif into Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, you need something to fight that. How do we fight it? Psukei Dezimra. Whereby Shemaskirim Mohem Gedulas Hashem Umalchuso Yimem Shalte Agdoilo Lehoirois, to show that we're declaring Ki Hageus Vahamalucho Lashem Yisborach Levad, that the Gaiva and Malchus belongs to Hashem alone. Uboze Machnien Hageus the Sidrachra Shemachnis Nagerim. And by doing that, we subdue and suppress the gaiva of the sitra achra, which the gerim bring with them to a degree. V'zeh bechinas shiras hayam she'oimrim b'soif psukei dezimra. This is also the concept of the oz yoshir, which we say at the end of psukei. That's the climax of psukei dezimra. Right before yishtabach, the last thing we say is oz yoshir. Shematcheles, it begins with the words Oshiro Lashem ki go'oi go. Let's sing to Hashem because He is great. Shezehu bechinas hachnoas hageus the sitrachra. That's the example where we subdue completely the gaiva of the sitrachra. Kimazkirim, because we're reminding ourselves, shahageus v'hamem sholo hurak Lashem yizborach, that the gaiva and kingdom is only to Hashem. V'chol ha-mizgoyim nichnoim v'noifam l'fonov. And anybody else who wants to be arrogant or great is nichna before Hashem. Kemoy she-targem ki-goy go, the targum on those words ki-goy go is arei izgoy al-gav sonayo. Hashem is greater than all the balei gaiva. In other words, anybody else who has gaiva or kovoid, Hashem is on top of them. So we're declaring that if there is any kovoid by the goyim or anything like that, no big deal. Hashem is on top of it, and Hashem can suppress it. V'zehu shemesayim Hashem yimloich li'olam voed. Therefore, the final words of Psukei Dezimra, right before Yishtabach, Hashem yimloich li'olam voed, Hashem yimloich li'olam voed, Hashem malchusei koim lo'olam olam yomayu. Ki geyus desetrachro hu bechinas malchus desetrachro. Because the gaiva of the sitra achra is synonymous with the kingdom of the sitra achra. Bechinas ano emloich. It's saying, I rule. Hashem isn't boss of the world. We're the bosses. Valkein mazkirim gedulas malchusoi. That's why at that point we mention the greatness of Hashem's kingdom, shehamalucha shelo yisborach. That kingdom belongs only to Hashem. Bechinas Hashem yimloich li'olam voed. Hashem rules eternally. Even now, when it looks as if the goyim are on top, it looks as if they have a malchus, their malchus is nothing. It's really Hashem who's in control. Ubozeh machnin umapilin malchus desitrachra. And by declaring this, this is what suppresses the malchus of the sitrachra, shubachinas geus, which is gaiva, וזה שומר מחר כך, כי לשם המלוכה, והויסו לשם המלוכה, והוי השם למלך על כל הורץ, פעים הוא יהיה השם אחד, הכל לגלויס מלכוסו יסבורך, אשר אליו לבד המלוכה, בבחינס כי לשם המלוכה, ואין לשום אדם ונברו להסגויס ולמלוך. And therefore there's no person that has the right to be arrogant or to think that he's ruling. ובזה מכניעין ומבטלין הגיוס שמכניס נגרים. This is the antidote to the gaiva that the gerim bring with them when they join the kedusha. So this is how Rav Nosson Zal explains how in our tefillah shachris we're pushing that button that Rabbeinu Zal explained in Likutei Moran. You needed the maginei eretz to do it, to be machnia these manhigei sheker who got this cherev gaiva from the gerim. Our saying of Psukei Dezimra is the antidote. Gam Shira Sayam Hu Bechinas Tikkun HaBris. Rabbeinu Zal said over there that the gaiva results in Taivas Niyuf. By us saying Oz Yoshir, we're turning on the zchus of the Tikkun HaBris of Yosef HaTzadik. Ki Kriyas Yamsuf Hoyo Bezchus Yosef Sheshomer HaBris Kamay Shomer HaZal. The fact that the Jews were zeichet to Kriyas Yamsuf was in the zchus of Yosef HaTzadik, who was Shomer HaBris. How do we know it? Hayom Ro'o Vayonois. It says, the ocean saw the Jews coming and it ran away from them. So the Gemara says that the ocean saw the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik, about whom it says, Vayonos Vayetze Achutza, that when Potiphar's wife tried to grab him, he ran away. That's what it means when it says, Hayom Ro'o Vayonos. That the ocean saw, that's why they had the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik in front of them, to arouse the zchus of the Tikkun HaBris. And that's how we subdue and control the problem of Taivas Niyuf, which could arise when Gerim come and join Bnei Israel. And we said that by our saying of Karbonos and Ketoris, that's what brings a rush of Gerim. We immediately put up the right walls by saying Psukei Dezimra and Shira Sayam. That's the protection. That's the declaration of the Kovod of Hashem, which is the antidote to that Gaiva Ra that they might bring with them. And by saying Oz Yoshir, we arouse this Chus of Yosef HaTzadik, which is Tikkun HaBris, which is the antidote to the Ptaivas Niyuf that they might bring with them when they come. Baruch Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal is continuing to explain the Tefillah Shachris and to show how in our Tefillah of Shachris with words we're pushing all the different buttons that Rabbeinu Zal described need to be pushed for Tikkun HaEmunah HaNefula. Because we said that there was a chapter in the Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes there that the most important thing is emuna. And he speaks about the nefila so emuna, that there are times when the emuna is not bishleimus. And he discussed some of the things that cause that. And he described a whole procedure that's needed. And he said that when there is nefila so emuna, if a person tries to daven then, using any of the normal ways of tefillah, regular tefillah, or even zchusavos, it won't work. It's only when the emuna is bishleimus that a person can use the regular channels of tefillah and mentions zchusavos, and those things should help. But when the emuna is fallen, Rabbeinu Zal said that a person needs etzos to fix it up, and in order to get those etzos, you need an ishtvunos, and the ishtvunos is one whose neshama is glowing. And in order to make the neshama glow, you need the right kind of parnosa and achila dikdusha. And in order to have that, you have to be mamshich ruchnis into tzimtzumim. And we said that when the emuna gets its tikkun, it causes gerim to come and join Bnei Israel, and they bring with them certain negativeness, certain problems such as gaiva that comes into Klal Yisroel when gerim join, and that reflects itself in the manhige doer, that there are false leaders that take a mantle of leadership and they lead the Jews and they inject taivas niyuf and gaiva into Bnei Yisroel. And Rabbeinu Zal said the tikkun for that is the mogine eretz, a certain group of tzaddikim that make the tikkun for those bad leaders, those undeserving leaders. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke about tikkun HaBris. He spoke about the concept of chaloyim al yidei malach versus chaloyim al yidei shed, that at night the concept of Mikra Laila, which is one of the outstanding examples of Pigama Bris, is related to Chizuk HaMalochim, he speaks about over there, because when the dream comes from a place of Kedusha, it's coming from an angel. And sometimes the angels become weak, and there are certain things that we do to strengthen them, to ensure that our dreams are going to come from a kosher place, and not Chas HaShem from an unkosher place. These were the major issues that were touched upon in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, and Rav Nosson Zal showing the correspondence within our Tefillah Shachris to each one of these items. V'achar kach, so yesterday we spoke about Karbonos and Ktoiris and Psukei Dezimra, and especially Oz Yoshir. And now we're continuing, we're going into Birchas Kriya Shema. V'al kein oimrim Birchas Yoitzer Oer, that's why after Psukei Dezimra, we go on to the bracha of Yotzer Oyer Uvoyre Choshech, Umazkirin Shom Seder Kiddusha. And that's where we say, Kodosh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos, Ugidulas Hamalochim. And we describe the greatness of the angels, Sheoimdim Be'emo Ubeyira, who stand before Hashem with awe and fear, Umekachin Shmo Yisborach. That whole piece is being said related to the angels, it says over there. Yoitzer Meshorsim, Va'asher Meshorsov, Kulam Oimdim Baru Moilam, that Hashem creates servants, referring to the angels, and Hashem, whose servants are at the top of the world, Umashmim Beyiro Yachad, Bekoil Divrei Lekim Chaim, Umelech Oilam. I'm quoting outside now. And it's talking about what the angels say, Kulam Ahuvim, Kulam Berurim, that's all referring to the angels. Ze Bechinas Tikan Hatfilin, Shemalin mebechinas hechdem sori lebechinas pituchei choisam kodesh l'Hashem. Rabbi Nezal in that chapter in the Likutei Moran spoke about pegama bris and tikana bris in the context of hechdem besoroi, which is a term that's used in the Torah related to tumas zov, and this choisam dikdusha, the seal, the insignia of kedusha, which is the symbol of tikana bris, which is also related to tefillin. Because there's a pasuk in Shir Shirim which says, "Simeni kachoisam alibecho, kachoisam alzroyecho." Hashem says, "Place me as a seal, as an insignia on your arm and on your head." And we know that the bris milah is also called a choisam dikdusha. It's a seal of kedusha. So that the mitzvah of tefillin is a reflection of tikkun bris. Shezeu bechinas kodosh 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 Hashem tzvokos. When we speak about Kiddusha, we're talking about Tikkun HaBris. V'alkein maskirin shom gedulas hamalochim. This is why in that paragraph we discuss the greatness of the angels. Shaydeze mamshichem bechinas chizuk hamalach. By discussing their positive qualities, we draw strength into the malochim. Kedei lizkois l'chaloyim al yidei malach. In order to be zeche, to draw our dream from the malach. Because the Gemara says in Brachas that dreams can come either a person has chaloyim al yidei malach or chaloyim al yidei shed. That it's from one of those two addresses, either a place of kedusha or the opposite. Shehu tikkun HaBris. When the dream comes from a holy source, it's a bechin of tikkun HaBris. Kemovoyer b'hatoyra hanal, as is explained in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, Shepigam abris nimshach alidei shenifgam v'noifel hachamimus v'ho'esh shel hamalochim agdoishim. Rabbein Zal explained over there that angels are generally fire. And what keeps the angel strong is as long as the fire is being fed, the angel has his full strength. When the angel cools off, chas v'shalom, that causes his destruction, and that causes the Shadim to take control, in a sense. So that we have to do things to feed the fire, to strengthen the fire of the angels. Rav Nosson Zal writes here, V'alkein alidei shemazkirin oitzem ho'ema v'ho'yira shel hamalochim hakdoshim. By us mentioning in our tefillah the great fear and awe that the angels have for Hashem, Shehu Chamimus Eish Digdusha, which is synonymous with fire, holy fire, because there's a pasuk in Chumash where it says, Ki Yoreso Mipnei Hoesh, that when the Jews were standing at Har Sinai and they saw that the whole mountain was like on fire, they stood back from fear of the fire. So we see that fire is synonymous with fear. So that by us mentioning in our tefillah the fear that the angels have for Hashem, it's like we're activating their fire. We're feeding the fire of the malachim and giving it strength. Ki hayira b'chinas eish. Because yira is synonymous with fire. So by us making mention of the fact that the angels have true fear for Hashem, we're elevating their fire and plugging it into Hashem, who is the highest, the holiest fire. And that causes a downfall to the fire of Tumah, the fire of Pigama Bris, Chas V'Shalom. Shemishom Taivas Niyuf Kanal, which is the source of illicit desires. So Rav Nosson Zal showing us that this paragraph in the tefillah that we mention, praising the malachim for their great fear of Hashem, by saying that we're giving chizuk to the malachim, mechazik their fire, their esh digdusha, which thereby weakens the esh de sitrachra, the esh of Taivas Niyuf and Pigama Bris, which we said is introduced into Klal Yisrael by the manhigim shel sheker, who get their power from the geirim that bring with them this gaiva. Avol adayin tzrichen lesakein hamishpot. However, Rabbeinu Zal explained in that chapter in Likutei Moran that pigama bris comes from one of two reasons. Sometimes it comes from this malach shade business, and sometimes it comes through a defect in Mishpat. When the Jewish courts are conducting themselves in an illegitimate way, there's bribery and graft and other stuff, that also causes Pigama Bris. Rabbeinu Zal showed over there. And we mentioned earlier, because these two things go together. Emes is Yaakov, Titein Emes Li Yaakov. Bris is Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, Tikkun HaBris. And it's brought that Guf Ubris Chadu, Yaakov and Yosef are one. The Gemara shows how whatever Yaakov Avinu went through, Yosef HaTzadik went through. They both went through the same things. So that Tikkun HaBris is synonymous with Tikkun HaMishpot in many cases. And Rav Nosson Zal had shown that this was the concept of the two boxes of the tefillin that we wear. The tefillin Shel Yad, he said, was connected the Bris Tikkun HaBris. Because he said there's a pasuk ubiyad kolodom yachtoim, referring to the choisam of kedusha, which is the bris milah. The tefillin shel roish, he said, was keneged mishpot, tikkun hamishpot, which is roish devorcho emes uloilam kol mishpatei tzidkecha. So you need both of these things, tikkun habris and tikkun hamishpot. Kamo shekotzu shom, as is written over there in the Likutei Moran, shelezeh tzrichin kesher hamerkova. Rabbeinu Zal explained over there, how do we make a tikkun for all the defects in justice in the world, in courts and everything? The tikkun for that is kishur hamerkava, by declaring the throne of Hashem, the angels that are involved in the throne of Hashem, that's the origin of all mishpat in this world. Kamesha Kosov Shom, as is written over there in Likutei Moran, that by our understanding and declaring the Kishur HaMerkava of Hashem's throne, that affects a tikkun for the entire judiciary system of the world. What it means literally is either declaring or doing something to bring a yichud between the four legs of the throne of Hashem, or the angels that are represented there, or the Aryeh Sher Nesher Odom that are presented there. For example, we do it in Kriya Shema Lamita when we say those words, Mimini Michoel Umismoil, that's called Kishur HaMerkava, declaring the Achdus of the throne of Hashem. V'zeo b'chinas v'ho'oifanim v'chayois ha'kodesh Barash Kodoil Misnasim Va'oimrim Boruch Kevoid Hashem Imkoimoy. Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us now where in the Tefillah Shachris we do this Kishur HaMerkava. When we make this statement that the Oifanim and Holy Chayos with great awe praise Hashem and exalt Hashem, and they say these words, blessed is Hashem Mimkoimoy, from His place, that's Kishur HaMerkava. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, Ho'oifanim v'chayes ha'kodesh hein b'chinas kesher ha'merkova. When we talk about the angels that are on the level of oifanim and chayos, those are the angels that participate in the throne of Hashem. They play a role in the throne of Hashem. Ki hoifanim v'chayis ha-kodesh, heim heim ha-merkova. Those angels are the throne of Hashem. Kaviyochel, when we picture a physical king riding on a physical throne, Hashem rides on these angels, these particular angels of the level called Oifanim and Chayis HaKodesh. Shezehu b'chinas tikkun ha-mishpat. And the Merkava of Hashem, which is synonymous with the Kisei of Hashem, that's the source of Mishpat. There's a pasuk Kisei Mishpat. Knows on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem goes off the Kisei Rachmim and sits himself on the Kisei Mishpat.
I just want to understand the difference between the throne of Hashem,
yes,
and the Merkava. Because it seems to me like a throne is like something like passive, and Merkava is like something that's...
For our purposes, both terms are used interchangeably. For now, it's both the Kisei Akoboid and the Kisei Mishpat and the Merkava are one and the same. I'm sure there are reasons why the different terminology is used, but as far as we're concerned, it's one item. And that's the source of Mishpat. V'alkein heimoimrim boruch kevoid Hashem mimekoimoi. And that's why, what do these angels say? Blessed is the honor of Hashem from its place. Ze bechinas tikkun ha-mishpat. That represents perfection of justice. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going off on a tangent for a moment to touch on something that's explained in Likutei Moran in a different chapter. There, Rabbeinu Zal says, there's a mission in Pirkei Avos where it says, "Al toden es chavercho ad shetagi lemekoimoi." No Jew has the right to pass judgment on another Jew. Why? Because the only way you can understand somebody well enough to judge them is if you're in that person's position. When you'll be in my position and you'll do better, then I'll know that... The Gemara tells a story of Menashe, that one of the rabbis in the Gemara, one of the rabbis of the Gemara said to his Talmidim, tomorrow we're going to discuss the story of our friend Menashe. Now the Gemara lists Menashe as one of the people who can't get into Olam Haba. Super Russia, an idol worshiper who brought idol worship to thousands of Jews. So the Gemara says, that night, Menashe HaMelech appeared to this rabbi in a dream, and he said to him, prepare to die. He said, how dare you have the audacity to call me your friend? Who are you? What are you? You're zero. And if you have any suspicion that you have the right to compare yourself to me, he said, if you were living in my time, you'd be wearing sneakers running to the Avodah Zorah. He said, you'd pick up your pants. And you couldn't run fast enough to get to the Avodah Zorah. So therefore, how dare you think that that you could call me a friend? He's talking to one of the rabbis of the Gemara. What do we see from that? That there is this concept that based on circumstances, based on a person's situation, you can't judge him, you can't look at him the same way you look at him if the circumstances were different. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, he highlights this Gemara, Al toden es chavercha ad shetagi lemekoimoi. So therefore, who's the only one that does have the right to judge? Only one who can put himself in everybody's position. Why? Because his name is position. Mokoim. One of the names of Hashem is Mokoim, Kaviyochol. And I once told you that the Zohar HaKadosh shows that if you take Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, and square each letter, Yud square plus He square plus Vav square plus He square, it equals exactly Mokoim. So that name Mokoim is tied into Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, which is the source of all names of Hashem. So because Hashem is Mokoim, therefore he is justified in judging everybody in the world. So Rav Nosson Zal says now, note, what do the Malachim say? The Malachim don't make a 3-hour speech. They say two things. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos, Malach Haaretz Kevoidoi. And they say, Boruch Kevoid Hashem Mimekoimoi. Blessed is the Kavod of Hashem from Mokoim, from the Mokoim that he's coming from, which is Tikkun HaMishpat. By declaring that Hashem is Mekoimoi Sheloilam, that's how you're really showing that you know where it's at in terms of justice, where Mishpat really is coming from. Valkein heimoyim boruch kvedeshem mimkoymoy. Mimkoymoy ze bechinas tikan mishpot. That term mimkoymoy represents tikan mishpot. Ki hakodesh baruch hu mekoymoy shel olam. Hashem is the place of the entire world. Vaydeze yochoy lodunes kol odom. That's why Hashem does have the right to judge everybody. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, Al todines chavercho ad shadgila mekoymoy. Do not judge anybody until you're in ad shetagia lemekoymoy. Until you get to mekoymoy. Who has gotten to mekoymoy is Hashem. Baruch kavod Hashem mekoymoy. Shezeh bechinas tikan hamishpot. Ki ikar pigam hamishpot nimshach machmas she'ein yoidem bechinas tzadik v'toyv loy tzadik v'raloy. Russia v'toivloi Russia. The main concept of pigama mishpat in this world is where people can't understand why is this guy having such a rough time? He's such a good person. How come Hashem is putting him through so much suffering? Or why is that guy so successful? That mafioso, that killer. How does he have so much? And that's the source of pigama mishpat, where we think we understand things better than Hashem. Hashem is the one who set the world up the way it is. And we're questioning, or we're bothered by what we see, what we think is the injustices in the world. Umishom nimshach v'nishtal she'el b'chinas pigama mishpot. And it's as a result of that, that you have all the pigama mishpot, all the real injustices that are taking place in this world, are taking place from our lack of ability to understand or accept Hashem's true justice. Kemuvan shom b'hatoran al, as is expressed in this chapter in Likutei Moran, ayin shom heitev. Look over there where Rabbeinu Zal explains this very well, how this is the cause for pigam hamishpot in the world. It's based on our lack of being able to perceive and understand tzadik v'raloi, tzadik v'toivloi. How some tzadikim have it good in this world. You have Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, who is the richest man on earth, and you have other tzadikim who are so poor that the word poor is an understatement. You know, and all the different possibilities. Avol al yidei she'oimrim boruch kivoid Hashemim koimoi. However, by the angels and us declaring this statement, making this declaration, blessed is the kovod of Hashem, mim koimoi, Hashem who is the mokoim of all, umaskirim, and we mention, ki hu yisporach mekoimoi sheloilom, ve'ein hoilo mekoimoi, we state that Hashem is the place of the world, not that the world is the place of Hashem. Therefore, Hashem is capable of putting himself in everybody's place. Because Hashem is everywhere. He is in every place. It's only Hashem who really understands everybody's position and everybody's circumstances. Etc. By a Jew making that declaration of Boruch Kavoid Hashem Im Koimoi and understanding what he's saying, or when the angels say it, that erases all questions of Tzadik V'toivloi, Tzadik V'raloi, etc. Ki hu yisborach don v'shoifet es kol echad v'echad l'fi mekoimoi, kefi ma shehu levad yodei amokom kol echad v'echad. Because Hashem does judge every person properly based on his position, based on how well Hashem understands that person's position, like no one else does. We see a person and we say, this person is such a religious person, how could Hashem do it to him? But our eyes are closed. We don't see what this person did in a previous Gilgul, or in previous Gilgulim, for which they must suffer. There's no other way. You're only seeing 5% of this person's neshama. You're not seeing the big picture, and therefore being able to understand better why the suffering, why the difficulty. Lahavdil, somebody once made an analogy to me that you have a 3-hour showing of something, a performance, and you get a guy who walks in for the second hour. He misses the first hour and leaves before the third hour. And then he walks out and saying, you know, that was the most ridiculous thing I ever saw. This guy shot this one, and this one was kissing this one, and nothing at all makes sense in there. All a bunch of loony bins. Nuts. What's this guy shooting for? He didn't do anything wrong to him. silly, silly. You missed the first hour. You didn't see what went on in that whole first hour to know how these two people became enemies and how he was settling the score, etc. So the Gemara says, we come to this world. We weren't here at the beginning. None of us were here at the creation. And we're not going to be here for the end. We're only here for a small snapshot in the middle, and we expect to understand everything. We want to know, why is this like, why is this person being treated like that? How can you expect to understand unless you can see the big picture? You have the biggest tzaddikim, the Arizal, who was able to take his students into a cemetery and go from stone to stone and explain to them that Jew's history in the world. All the times that that Jew had visited the world, what he was supposed to perfect in each and every Gilgal, whether he succeeded or not, and how that determined what followed in his life, you know, the next pass on earth. This declaration, the angels are saying, blessed is the honor of Hashem from his place. They're showing that they acknowledge even that they have no right to judge Hashem, to try to understand Hashem, because Hashem's place, only Hashem is mokoim, not the angels and not the humans. Only Hashem is capable of judging each person, knowing what each person deserves and should get. Hashem is the epitome of tikkun hamishpat. That's what they're declaring by that. Ki Hashem yisporach yoideya sheze ho'odom eini yochol lahagia letachliso yanitzchi kim al yidei sheyeloi ashirus godoil v'chol tuv boze oilam. Because it's Hashem who knows that this particular individual will not be able to get to his goal, to his success, his eternal success, unless he has financial wealth and unless he has everything going for him well in the world. Ulehepech ho'achar versus his neighbor, let's say, Eino yochoy lovoy letachlis ha'nitzchi, he will not be able to get to his success in Gan Eden al yidei sheyeloi anius v'dachkus boze oilam, unless he goes through poverty and suffering in this world. V'hakoil kifi mekoimoy shel kol echod, all based on each person's position. She'ein shum odam yoideh hamokim shel kol echod kiim hu levada yisborach, and the only one who knows each and every single person's position is only Hashem. Shehu mekoim shalom. Picture you see a baseball game going on, and the shortstop gets out there with a catcher's mask and a glove and catches mitt. And look at him like he's cool. What are you doing? And he says, what do you mean? He's got the mask. Why can't I have it? The catcher's got that thing on his head. How come I can't have it? Or better yet, they see army lining up, and they see the pilots, and they see the pilots being checked to make sure they don't have one single excessive item on them. Not even a penny in his pocket, you know, nothing. He's got to be as light as could be, and no metal, and no this, that. Then they see that the Navy guys lining up with those heavy oxygen tanks on the tank, on their backs, and the guy looks at this and says, this isn't an army, this is a zoo. Look at this. To this guy, they tell him he's not allowed to carry, he's not allowed to have a belt on even. He's got to be his... And this guy, they put a 300-pound thing on his back. You ever see anything as ridiculous as that? This guy, this big shot who knows it. And then somebody walks over to him and says, Chucham, you silly person. This guy's got to fly up in the air. This guy's going to be in a hand glider. He's going to be parachuting behind army lines. Of course, he's got to be as light as... The other guy's going underwater. Each one has a different mission, and based on his mission, he's dressed for his mission. He needs the 200-pound oxygen tank on his back, and if he had a 170-pound tank, it wouldn't be good. And the other guy, if he has 1 ounce of extra weight, it can tilt the parachute, it can mess him up. It can mess up the accuracy of his jump. It sounds simple. That's the reality in life. None of us, one guy's in the Navy, one guy's in the Army, one guy's in the Air Force. Each guy is dressed differently. Each guy gets a different parnosa and a different kind of wife and a different kind of different circumstance based on Hashem's understanding of what position that person is playing within Am Yisrael. When I started learning computers, I remember going into college and taking a course, and they started teaching the binary system. The guy started writing on the board 2 to the 8th power. And I'm looking at the guy, and I said, I walked into the room, he's teaching French here. I wanted to learn computer. Where's the computer? I'm looking around the whole class. Where's the computer? There was no computer. There were desks and a teacher and a blackboard. I said, these guys in college, none of them have their brains on right. You want to take a computer course, and they don't even bring the computer into the room. And then I first found out that this is called Introduction to Computers, where you don't even get to see a computer yet. They're teaching you the basics, the concept behind how a computer works. It's a switch, an on-off switch, which works on the binary system, basically, you know, and it's all timed by Hashem, it's all computerized. The person's being put through all the phases he's got to go through to get to his tachlis. There's not one iota of unnecessary hassle or unnecessary anything. Every single thing that the person's going through in life is part of his hatzlucha in getting to his tachlis. It's either moving him forward or a setback in helping him get to where he's supposed to get to his shlemus, the shlemus of his neshama within where his neshama is. An example, the Arizal explains, just, you know, on a light level, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Arizal says that this one represented this and this payah of Hashem. That's why he had to learn Kabbalah. That's why the Ramban had to learn the Limra Kabbalah. Whereas the other one, it wasn't necessary for him to be involved in that thing. It's not that who's greater, who's bigger. Who's bigger, the pilot or the submarine driver? Somebody asking that question is asking a foolish question. Shows they don't understand how the whole thing works. They don't understand how the whole machinery of an army works. That it's only if all of them are flowing together and each one is contributing their part that the whole thing can be successful.
So one person who may be part of Breslov, can't follow Breslov, and may find himself in Chabad seeing that as the... How is the whole thing?
The answer is yes and no. Meaning, to a certain extent, most people that are functioning in the Navy could never lecture to the Air Force because he's a specialist in his thing. This guy's a specialist in underwater technology, and this guy's a specialist in photography underwater, and this guy's this. But you have certain guys who have such a broad knowledge or such broad experience where this person can be used anywhere. He can be used in the Navy, he can be used in the Air Force. The nature of his knowledge and his broad understanding of things, he can help guys in the Navy, he can help train Air Force, you know, he can help either one, that kind of thing. That's the concept of tzaddikim versus the tzaddik ho'emes, the highest tzaddik. The difference is, by tzaddikim, there could be limitations. One tzaddik is a specialist in stucco, one tzaddik is a specialist in Torah, whereas the concept of a Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a term in the Gemara called ish eshkolius, ish shehakol boy. He's a person who's a man of all trades, that kind of thing. He's capable of dealing with all kinds of situations. The way Rabbi Nezal says, the tzaddik emes is the one who's positioned in the center of the world, and he's capable of dealing with the most religious and least religious people equally. Whereas most tzaddikim are not capable of that. Most tzaddikim are in a certain kind of place where they can deal with their own environment or people similar to them, whereas people that are the opposite of them... Whereas the true ultimate tzaddik is the one, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Nosson Zal gives an example that we see a meeting between him and Yisroi. It's the most unbelievable statement. This is before Yisroi converted. And it says over there that they met each other and they spoke to each other. And the wording in the pasuk, Vayetze Moshe likras choisnoi, Moshe Rabbeinu went to meet his father-in-law, Vayishtachu ibar, Vayishakle kistim, Vayishalu ish lereyehu lesholon. And each one asked his friend how he's doing. Rav Nosson Zal takes these words, Vayishalu ish l'rei l'sholim, and he says, take a look at this. Moshe Rabbeinu was the epitome of Kedusha, of Emor, the closest thing to faith in Hashem, and the closest thing to Hashem, the highest madriga of Kedusha. Yisroel, the opposite, the antithesis. He worshipped every single idol, he was this and this. And the Torah says when they met, it was ish l'reyehu l'sholim, because Rav Nosson Zal says, the ultimate tzaddik, the highest tzaddik, is capable of doing that. His range is so wide that he can be closer to Hashem than anybody else, and he can be closer to the worst Russia than anybody else. He can make the worst Russia feel like his buddy better than anybody else could possibly do. That's the Chiddush. Nimtza, continuing where we left off inside, that by us declaring these words, Dehainu, Shehu Yizborach Mekoimoy Sheloilam, we're declaring that Hashem is the Mokoim of the world, V'yochoy Lodun Es Kolechot Lofi Mekoimoy, and Hashem is qualified to judge each and every person based on where that person is at. Boze Mamshichem Bechinas Tikun HaMishpot. That's how we are activating this concept of Tikun HaMishpot, pushing that button, Shezeo Bechinas Tikun HaMerkovo Hanal, which is synonymous with being misaking the throne of Hashem Kavyochol. V'alkein Hoifanem V'chayes HaKodesh Shehem Hem HaMerkovo Hem Oimrim Boruch V'Hashem Hem Koimoy. That's why it's bedavka these, the Oifanim and Chayes HaKodesh, who are the throne of Hashem, they're the ones that say, Boruch Void Hashem Im Koimoy, Shubchinas Tikun HaMishpot, Shubchinas Kesher HaMerkova, Kemoy Shekoso Shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there. Next, Ukeshenestakein HaMishpot, and once the Mishpot becomes fixed up, Shubchinas Kesher HaMerkova, which we said is synonymous with the establishment of the throne of Hashem, Nitzoylin Me'ahava Sanafulin, V'zoichen li'ahavo dikdusha. Rabbeinu Zal explained in that chapter in Likutei Moran that to the extent that there is injustice in the world, people like what they're supposed to dislike, and they dislike what they're supposed to like. People dislike their vegetables and their whole wheat bread and this, that, and they like the sweet cream and the this and that. Why? Based on Pigama Mishpot. Pigama Mishpot means everything's upside down. The Russia looks like the tzaddik. The Russia is having the rewards and everything that you would normally say go to the tzaddik, and the tzaddik's having the pain and suffering which you would think you would associate with the Russia. As a result of Pigam HaMishpot, the Ahava also becomes topsy-turvy. People love what they're supposed to reject, and they reject what they're supposed to love. Rav Nosson Zal says in one place that serving Hashem is called Avoidas Hashem. Avoida means labor. Picture labor. Picture if I told you that for every leaf you pick up downstairs now, you get $30,000. Would you call that labor? Would you say I had I went to work today? Would you call that work? Ridiculous. If we understand that every mitzvah, that for $5 a person goes and buys a pair of tzitzis and wears the tzitzis for 3 minutes and gets $60 billion of Gan Eden for it. Would you call that avoidas? Could you apply it? And Rav Nosson says the world is so cuckoo. The world is so upside down. You have this ben melech and ben shivcha that got switched around, where that became the norm. That they call serving Hashem, they call learning and davening and tzitzis and tefillin, that's called avoida. And eating strawberry shortcake is called pleasure. Exactly the opposite of the strawberry shortcake, which can lead to stomachache and overweight and diseases and other things, that's called fun and pleasure. Whereas the tzitzis is called avoidas Hashem. So Rav Nosson Zal says here that the pigam hamishpot leads to the pigam of ahavoy sanefulin. People love what they're not supposed to love. V'zoichen li ahavo dikdusha. So when the mishpot gets fixed up, then the ahavo gets fixed up. And people learn to love what they're supposed to love. V'zeh b'chinas birkas ahavas oilom shoim remachar kach. This is why right after this whole thing, the Boruch Vod Hashem Kol and everything, we go into the ahavas oilom ahavtonu b'chinas ahavo digdusha, where we declare the holy ahava shetluya b'kesher hamerkova, which is dependent on the tikkun of the merkova, the tikkun hamishpot. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Merkovoi argomon toichoi rotzuf ahavo. The throne of Hashem is established through argomon, that's the angels, Uriel, Raphael, the first words, the first letters, the word argomon makes up the first letters of the different angels that make up the throne of Hashem. So the throne of Hashem is established by these angels, Uriel, Raphael, Gavriel, Michoel, and Nurikel, those angels. And what happens then? Toichoi rotzuf ahavo. The center of Hashem's throne is lined with love, which means that when the mishpat is established properly, then the ahavo also gets straightened out. That's why, right after Baruch Vayda Shemim Koimoi, we move into that paragraph that's entitled Ahava Rabbah, where we declare the Ahava Dikdusha. Kemoi Shekosav Shom, as is written in Likutei Moran, Ayin Shom.